Let us commence our worship this morning with hymn number 795, the tune is Palestrina 605. Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Thoughts we cannot quell or pour out, blasphemously unseen, obscene. Coldness, unbelief and pride, hell and all its murderous train, threaten death on every side, and have their thousands slain. Thus pursued and thus distressed, whither shall we fly to obtain the promised rest? On what sure hand rely? Shall the Christian trust his heart, that alas, of foes the worst, always takes the tempter's part, nay, often tempts him first.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Epistle of Peter and chapter 1, first chapter from the first Epistle of Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadonia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, but having not seen that ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. But if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and help us in prayer. O gracious God, we do thank thee, Lord, for the language of Peter under the influence of the Spirit, and we would seek that grace, Lord, to be holy. And we have to realise, Lord, that in our nature we cannot be holy, but only by the work of the new birth, of the Spirit of truth, of the new birth upon us, to be quickened by the Spirit who were once dead in trespasses and sins. And still we're sinners in thy sight, Lord, this body of sin and death that we carry with us, but may it be, Lord, the temple of the Holy Ghost, by reason of that call by grace. And so we come before thee this morning with thankful hearts. We come with burdened souls, because, Lord, we know that we have the trial of faith. We know we have those things in our lives that are a burden to us, our offspring, and our Lord, in some cases, offspring's offspring, as we look upon, Lord, those that have turned their backs upon the truth, and what a burden that is, Lord, to thy people that have been quickened by the Spirit. And so, Lord, we would commit, Lord, the unregenerate in family circles. And Lord, and we all have them, and they are a burden to us. And we wait upon thee, Lord, if it could please thee, that they might yet prove to be chosen vessels, and shall be found having their pathway sanctified to them, to begin to be one through the knowledge of Christ. Lord, is anything too hard for thee to build up the broken walls of Jerusalem? Oh God, help to hear us. Lord, we do pray thee, even under our own roofs in some cases, Lord, but deny thee, but forsaken thee for the perishing things of this world. Oh, for we have to realise we carry about a body of sin and death. We are carnally minded, and we need the very Spirit of truth to lift up the light of his countenance upon those that, Lord, that are bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and seem to manage, Lord, for life without thee, until they come to the end. And how solemn, Lord, to have an end without the work of grace being begun in our hearts. And we have to ponder, Lord, why were we here? Why were we made to hear thy voice? Why were we brought, Lord, to love the truth as it is in Jesus? And still, Lord, we have those doubts and their fears in their mind, as we've been singing this morning. And so we do pray, Lord, for thy grace to confirm our souls. And Lord, reach forth thine arm, send out, Lord, we do pray thee, the angels of light, that shall quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. We've all had those, Lord, I believe here today, we've had those around us, have those, Lord, connected with us in the ties of nature, and they will not believe unless thou dost give them a new heart, Lord. Oh, we need much prayer, spirit of prayer, grace, supplication, that thou yet, Lord, build again these broken walls. Thou will quicken souls and cause them, Lord, to have a real hunger thirst for the righteousness of Christ, that blood that we've been reading of this morning that cleanseth them all sin. Oh, wilt thou not have mercy upon this guilty land and nation, Lord, that have denied thee. We're going around seeking, Lord, the backings in due time from the votes, Lord, of the people. Oh, Lord, we do pray that they would drive out the buyers and the sellers, Thou dwellest, Lord, yet again. Those that are in enmity to the truth might be brought, Lord, to cry unto thee for mercy. The eyes of understanding enlightened, their ears unstopped, and the saints might sink down of Jesus into their hearts and cause them, Lord, to truly have some desire in their souls to see Jesus. For is anything too hard for thee? Do, Lord, in mercy, bless our elderly friends. We hear of Wynn in hospital, Lord, again. And we do pray for those of good age that he might know what it is to know real repentance and godly sorrow for sin, that he might have a real hunger and thirst for thy righteousness to be prepared, which cannot be many years, Lord, hence, for there is that call to the judgment seat. And do remember, Lord, Elaine, to strengthen her, Lord, further from what she has had to pass through, Lord. And do, Lord, remember her in mercy and grant her a token of thy love. And do bless those around her, Lord, even the children, the grandchildren, Lord, and even the grandchildren's offspring. Lord, we look to thee, Lord, to grant a stirring up in this dark world of sin and woe, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he's near, for is anything too hard for thee, Lord? And do, Lord, touch the hearts of our leaders, Lord, that they're not just so interested, Lord, in getting into Parliament again, but to be brought, Lord, to seek the Lord and his wisdom from above to deal wisely in the affairs of this nation, to deliver us from those ungodly nations, Lord, that want to hang upon us as nations, and make us, Lord, a nation that shall honour the word of God in spite of those, Lord, that deny thee and defy thee and not have thee to reign over them and not have the Bible in the schools and the teaching, Lord, of the word of God. Oh, what a sad state we're in, Lord. Deny thee. But oh, what a day will come when thou will come to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, Lord, do prevent, Lord, we do pray thee, do prevent, Lord, those would-be underminers of the Christian marriage, we do beg of thee. Lord, do rather make them to realise in the word of God, woman and woman, man and man, joined together, Lord, in the old days, were sentenced to death for their sins. Lord, we do pray, have mercy upon these people that want to deny thy word, when this is the word of that is truth, Lord, and this is the word that will be applied to our souls, as it has for many of us here, Lord, that they shall know the truth, and the truth will make them free from the condemnation that they're presently in. Condemnation, Lord, because we do need that incorruptible word of life to be no sown in weakness, Lord, to be raised in our souls, in spite of all our sinfulness of body, Lord, that new heart, which will be made tender in thy fear. O Lord, have mercy upon the young, the rising days, we do pray thee. And do yet stir up people, Lord, to follow thee in the ordinances of thy house, for a dark world we're in, Lord, a dark world, even those, Lord, that have known the truth. And we do pray, Lord, that we raise up living witnesses to the wonders of our redeeming love, for is anything too hard for thee? Lord, have mercy upon the nation. May, Lord, we do pray thee with our beloved wife, Lord, who is forced to stay at home, Lord, because of the manifested sins of another, of her offspring and ours. Lord, thou knowest, and not only that, Lord, other friends here, family members, Lord, they have those that would desire to to see, Lord, a heart, new heart given, a change of heart, renewing the will, returning our desire to you. Lord, have mercy upon Zion, and do build us up again in our most holy faith. Bless the word that it might have free course. This day be glorified to thine honour, not to man's honour, but to God's honour, to his glory. Lord, come again, Lord, and revive us. Be with those, Lord, throughout this earthly ball today as their time of worship comes round. We bless thee for thy day, Lord. And much more, Lord, we do pray to increase our faith and our hope and our love to thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done such great things for sinners, that they might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Hear us in these things then, Lord, and do take control of the affairs of this land, that it might, Lord, reveal a little of thine almighty power to put the hosts of hell to flight. We commit thee to thee, we commit this nation to thee, and ask thee now, Lord, to pardon their sin. Lord, we ask in this for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Let us further sing hymn 270. The tune is Deerhurst 633. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier, though the captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder, war in weakness, dare in doubt. Buckle on thy heavenly armour, patch up no inglorious peace. Let thy courage wax the warmer, as thy foes and fears increase. Bind thy golden girdle round thee, truth to keep thee firm and tight. Never shall the foe confound thee, while the truth maintains thy fight. Righteousness within thee rooted may appear to take thy part, but let righteousness imputed be the breastplate of the heart.
Thank you.
help me, I will direct you carefully to the first of Peter, chapter 1, and reading verses 18 to 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This is what we need, friends. Not redeemed with corruptible things, because God might favour you in providence, and you buy and build up your treasures in earth, which we know the necessity of your life, of your food and your raiment, and your places of abode, but you're not redeemed by it. You'll be brought to feel, dear friends, that it is those incorruptible things that will exercise your soul. Yes, we will be exercised if we fear God. What thy hand findeth to do, we are told, do it as unto the Lord. And we also read in amongst the apostles that my God, Peter's God, the disciples' God, shall supply all your need. Believe in God, but trust in him, that they're forced to the sinner's friend for their help, and that help that is laid upon one that is mighty to save. We get into situations here below that cause us to cry unto him, but how much more shall we cry unto him for the redemption of our souls? We know it's all appointed for those that shall be saved and those that shall be lost. He knows those that shall be truly led by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit. And always we read about Peter, and that our conversation should be holy. These things read us and show us how short we've come in our walk and our conduct. Though you felt the quickening influence of his grace, born again of the water and the Spirit, you want to know that you not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation. All the dangers of vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. What an attraction that'll be to a newborn soul. He won't be going about making treasures in the bank, although there's he supplies your needs in that way. But you'll have trials, you'll have exercises, and primarily you'll be concerned about the welfare of your soul. Would to God that we could feel more of it. The necessity of the work of grace, the revelation of Jesus Christ and that simultaneous blood, who was as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the perfection of Christ in that shed of that atoning blood that he shed for many, but not all. But all that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. What a mercy. So you're not redeemed, dear friends, with corruptible things. As I said, God supplies your need. go under his riches in glory. But is it that the riches in his glory is what that we want now at all? Durable riches, solid joys, lasting peace. My peace, he said, I leave with you. Not a universal leaving, not a universal loving, but that change of heart wrought within you. The value, the invaluable blood, you can't put a price on it, can you? The blood of Christ cleanseth of all sin, all sin. And what a lot of sin there is about it. Sins, immense as is the sea, we read of. Immense as the sea. Do you ever feel to be under that cloud, dear friends? Your sins, immense as the sea. This blood can cleanse from all sin. Lest the shadow of a spot upon our soul be found. It takes the robe, the Saviour, all cast it all around. His shed blood. Oh, what a mercy to know something of the reality that Christ has pardoned your sins. Because you are precious. Because you cost him agony of soul. We read it, don't we? He being in agony, prayed more earnestly for yourself, for mine. If we're in the covenant, dear friends, we should know that. Redeemed, dear friends. This corruption must put on incorruption. When we look around in the world, amongst the business world that we hear of, the corruption amongst men, the deceitfulness of man, trying, dear friends, to outwit his fellow creatures, and does sometimes, permitted to. But oh, what a mercy. You see, the love of money is the root of evil, which some have coveted after, and forsaken, dear friends, their faith. But what a mercy to know something of this redemption. And the nearer we get, the older we get, the more it'll be an exercise of your soul and mine. There's no going back, dear friends, in the years that we've spent as a tale that is told. But it's looking to Jesus. And so whatever objects you and I have in life, and especially in younger years, and bearing the burden and the heat of the day, yes, what your hand finds to do it is of the Lord. But this great idea, that you might live a life of faith by prayer, bringing your hard things to the Lord, looking for him to favour you with the favour he bears unto his people, and visit you and me. And that our latter days might be more profitable to our souls as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ to say to your soul, I am thy salvation. So you can't buy your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to be a head of the church. You can't buy your way to be a pope or to be a leader. No. We need, dear friends, the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. It isn't, dear friends, getting, as it were, the esteem of man, but we want to esteem Christ as our daily, precious Saviour that has shed his blood on Calvary's tree without blemish. The perfect. He will perfect that work that concerns you and me if you're a true believer, if you're a chosen vessel. He said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you, ordained you, you go forth and bring forth real fruit. Oh, don't we have much to pray for? To bring our souls out of prison that we might praise him and feel that he has blessed us with these tokens of his everlasting love. Because it's by grace that he's saved through faith and all of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a man that man should boast. Not of the flesh, man should boast. And there'll be no proud boasting with you and me about our religion, but to have a little that you possess of this vital godliness, that you might know the truth. And how do we know it? When he's applied it. The ends of his word that give it light, understanding for your simple soul and mind. And you might be one of these lively stones, a living stone that is exercised, made tender in the fear of God. And so, Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We're in the last times. We're in the gospel days. But you ought to know that he's applied something to you. Exercise yourself that the truth as it applied will stick fast in yourself, and you'll meditate with him at the throne of grace. Lord, confirm my soul. Give me evidences that I have been born again, and to be brought to realize that he said here, as we read this morning, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. We think then of those leaders that in years past have been raised up for a purpose. Those dear friends that have been given, yes, grace and wisdom to bring us away from the great dictators in the world, and they're still about now. See, you undermine the word of truth, but what a mercy. All flesh is as grass. You know, when they die, they worship them and glorify, dear friends, a dead man or woman. What a mercy to be able to come here. Lord, undertake for me and teach me thy love. Teach me, Lord, to number thy days, that I might apply, that I might apply my heart unto wisdom, to observe. To observe that God reigns, that all flesh is as grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth. So is the man, so is the woman, so is the child. But so we look to the Lord to have evidences that I've been born of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth. This is the word of God, and you and I need to search it, and we need to seek it, the application, the entrance of it that giveth light and understanding to my poor simple soul. These politicians, so called, are supposed to govern the affairs of the land, and they deny the first thing, the Bible, and they want to destroy it, they want to take it out of schools. And who can but tell, in that wanting to take the Bibles out, dear friends, that what trouble they're causing the nation is judgments. And we've had some of these judgments with the floods. See, this is solemn. And you pity those poor things who are suffering under floods, whether it be Queensland or all down the coast, or also in Tasmania. You don't hear anybody saying it's a judgment, do you? Because their eyes of understanding are darkened. But when the eyes of understanding are lightened, as you and I will be if we know the truth, we should need the Lord to grant us this incorruptible word of life, which liveth and abideth through his word, the entrance of his word that giveth light and understanding to your soul and mind, and to know this, that you are corrupt in body and mind, until the Lord gives you a new heart and makes you more tender. And so now we need the Lord to grant us that grace in our soul, the call by grace. And it might be, dear friends, that he might go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. What a rejoicing we would have. sons and daughters of my blessed adoption, not creating their own will, not bringing their own pathway, dear friends, into corruption, because their sins will increase. Lord, to see sins marks but slightly, but only with lips confession is easiest to those who feel cut deep beyond expression. And I believe you'll know that. I believe you'll know that. As we touched upon in prayer about this, these evil marriages, dear friends, women and women, and men and men, it's against God's will. They'll be destroyed, dear friends, in their souls if they are permitted to do it, and if they're permitted to bring it in or in the nation. It'll be a solemn judgment upon us. All what matters we need to pray for. And it seems to be that you and I and believers are in the minority in the world and in the land, and bringing these evils. But what a mercy that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And may we yet see, Lord, even a turning. Turning, dear friends, of the power of, the seeming power of man, and realise that the government is upon his shoulders in these battles, or that there might yet be evidences of this purifying of your souls, he says here, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. Is our love pure to the brethren? You know whether it is a dear or as it's a fleshly love, unfeigned love, not a made-up love, not an imagination of your heart, that you love this one and that one. It's a love of the truth. And we need to look at the Word of God and read what Peter's been taught by the Spirit. And you and I, to know by the evidences we're born again, led by the Spirit, to know this, that we need this precious blood of Christ, it be attractive to your souls. Because he says, when I see the blood, as in those early days, the protection of the Israelites, when they daubed the doorpost and the headstone with they daubed it, dear friends, with the blood of beasts. And that was a sign in the forthcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his shed blood. Because this is that perfect blood that cleanses from all sin. And this is what will redeem you. Pay the price for your sins and mine. Oh, to feel more of this burden of their sin. It's so treated lightly, I believe, in their day. It's this unfeigned love of the brethren. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? Takes it back to the marriage of one of my sons. I had to speak, dear friends, at the wedding, and that was on my mind. But the unfeigned love between them wasn't made up, I believe, in those early days. And then when marriage, it was the unfeigned love of the brethren that was beginning to evolve in them, their souls, being brought to the earth and brought forth. And so these things encourage you now, dear friends, to seek those suitable partners in life. When it comes round to, as some of us may have gone into marriage unconverted, but we've had to look back and see the hand of the Lord in it, and we bless him for it. Know that pathway, dear friends, have been tempted and tried in our pathway. is that we've had it on two occasions in two beloved wives, yet you see, walk together as being agreed. In that knowledge of the truth is the desires of our soul to walk worthy of Him. Oh, we mourn over our shortcomings and failures, but the Lord knows the desires of our soul. And looking for this blood of Christ to cleanse us from all our sins. For if sin be pardoned, that's the security of your soul and mind, resting in the love of Christ, which is rich and free, fixed on His own eternity, the election of God. Now, it's not for you and me to choose. You can't give anyone grace, but He can, and He does, and He will. And so, walking together in the fear of God, seeking to know and do His will, and to seek that we're not left to be carried away with the things of this world. We should hold them with a loose hand, but desiring to know and have this treasure in our earthen vessels, that the actions of power may be of God and not of us, looking unto Jesus. What a blessed mercy if the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, and you see grace to walk worthy of Him. And as young, newborn babes, you know, we won't be critical of them to the sense, dear friends, of finding fault with others. We have to look at home first, don't we? And it'll be here on my heart, the burden lies, the past offences, pain my eyes. You'll mourn over your shortcomings, you'll mourn over your sins and after Him, but all to know that Jesus is made nigh to you with revelation of His sin atoning blood that prepares you and me, as grace is given, for those mansions in the sky. I go to prepare a place for you, He says. If I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and reveal myself to you. And He's gone to prepare a place for you. He'll come again and take you with me to glory at the time of their departure, when it is at hand, and it will be at hand at one day, because we do not and will not live forever. But oh, to have Christ Jesus formed in your heart, the hope of glory, and to bless you and me with that grace to endure. And this word of the Lord, He tells us, endureth forever. Let them try and take it away from the schools. Let them try and burn the Bibles if they could. But still, this truth will be burnt into your soul and mine. And He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? The condemnation, the broken law. Is Jesus, my friend, that hung on the tree, that opened His channel for you and for me. What a Saviour, and what a mercy if you're one of these chosen vessels. Because the appointed time will roll on apace, not to propose, but called by grace, to change your heart, renew your will, and return your feet to Zion's hill. What a Saviour, and what a mercy. And this will humble you and me. This will humble you and me when Jesus Himself reveals Himself to poor sinners. This is not something that you can learn, dear friends, as schoolboys learn their tasks. This is something applied. The appointed time rolled on a place not proposed but called by grace, to change the heart, renew your will, and return your feet to Zion's hill. And you're made to feel that He is the one thing needful. And you won't be ashamed to secretly call upon His name in the day of trouble. And He says, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He must have all the praise and the glory that's due unto His name as this Saviour. And He will have compassion upon you and you'll have compassion on one way or another to see those fruits, dear friends, and evidences of thy grace, which is saved. And you will not prevent Jesus sending out his truth, and he will favour you in time as he'll wear you and me down. He'll wear you down, dear friends, into that state of repentance and that godly sorrow for your sin. These things are a mystery to you, but he knows how to deal wisely with yourself. And so, you see, no tradition from your fathers can save you. But your fathers will pray, your mothers will pray for you. And we are subjects here, I believe, good many of us, we older ones, have been the subjects of parents' prayers. And what a value they are, because they've been taught of the Lord, because their parents have prayed for them. And that's a privilege to have a praying mother and father. To be enabled, dear friends, to see the evidences of the fruits of it. Bought with a price, eternally loved. And though they would have said, well, why me, why me? Why was I taught to pray? Well, because the Lord has a favour toward them. And there's a favour towards you now, and you can truly endorse it. The Lord has favoured you with that hunger now, that thirst after his righteousness, and your desire to be able to have your faith strengthened, to believe in him, and pray for a revelation of the blood of Christ. A fountain open for sin and unfairness, the dying thief really desire that. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there of you and I, we would humbly say, have blessed him for that day. And you've known what it is, and some of you now are still praying for it. The redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them be chosen before the world was made. chosen generations, a people that shall live to praise his name. And I noticed the other day how that prayer from their former, one of their prime ministers, pray, it made this nation great because of their desire to pray. That coming word from a man that feared God, that was a prime minister. Now, no matter what persuasion, but if he'd been able to record, that what made this nation great was one thing, was an honourable marriage with man and woman. And now we do need more praying leaders. And this doesn't very hopeful at minute, but the Lord knows where they are. And he's able to stop. And he's able to meet these leaders. He governed their woes and their affairs, and they have to do what he's bidden to be done. And though they might not know it as individuals, it's because God reigns. And God has reigned in the wars that our countries have had, England and the Commonwealth. They have been able to defeat the enemies of those nations because God reigns. And what a mercy for the Lord to increase our faith and our hope. And it comes down to you and me, as poor sinners, that are exhorted to pray for those that have the authority over us. But are coming back to this personal religion this resignation to the will of God in your pathway and mine, and to realize that the Lord will grant you and me that knowledge of Jesus Christ, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, and he will be manifested to you and me to make you and me conscious of your need of prayer, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, righteous woman, righteous, even young child. And my dear old deacon at Staples, he was, I think it was 8 or 9 years old when he was convinced of his sin, and he was made willing in his 70s, 80s, when he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're never too old to learn, we're never too young to learn the wisdom of God, which is a mystery, to know and to plead for the Lord to govern our ways and our affairs, but above all lead us to this fountain that's open for sin and uncleanness. Lord, what a mercy. As of a lamb without blemish, as was the case of the sacrificial lamb, dear friends, and Jesus is the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. You know, he came amongst his own received him not, but as many as those have received, to them gave he the power. And that's what lacking in their day, that's what we need, the power of God in salvation, to prepare you and me for his will, and to make us each wise unto salvation through faith in the merits of Jesus, and to sanctify our souls through the blood of Christ, and to seek that closer walk with God, that calm and heavenly fame, that light that shines upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. But we must leave it for the time. May the Lord bless his own word and forgive our sins, as we ask him for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Let us conclude with hymn number 96, the tune of St. Catherine, 793. Now I have found the ground wherein my anchor hope shall firm remain. The wounds of Jesus for my sin, before the world's foundation slain, whose mercy shall unshaken stay, when heaven and earth are fled away. O grace, thou bottomless abyss, my sins are swallowed up in thee, covered in my unrighteousness, from condemnation I am free. For Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy cries.
Oh.
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.